Our first reading this morning comes from Revelation chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle comes from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
God's grace, his mercy, and his peace are ours on this Reformation Sunday. In the name of Jesus, amen. Would you join me in a word of prayer, please? Oh Lord, we thank you for the blessing of this day. We thank you for the chance to gather together in your house and be reformed and restored by the blessing of your word, by the blessing of our Savior's presence in our lives. Help us, oh Lord, to receive the gift that you've set apart for us today, the gift of new life in Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. So I brought a book with me this morning, Things Fall Apart. This was a book that was written by a Nigerian, and it's his reflections on what happened in his country when Britain came, when the British came. It's got a special meaning for me because my wife was born there. Her parents were missionaries in Nigeria. And they lived there for about 16 years, from 1949 to like 1965. And the message of Things Fall Apart is very significant for us today, because they fell apart in Nigeria on two ends. First, when the Brits came, the culture of the Africans was challenged, and their way of life kind of fell apart. It wasn't what it used to be, and their lives were turned upside down. But what I want to really reflect on is the memory that Cindy has about Nigeria. She was born in Nigeria in 19, something like that, and she lived there for the first part of her life. And the Brits were still there when she was very young. But then they left. And when they left, the country changed. We got the opportunity to go back and visit Nigeria in 2010, about 9 years ago, 9.5 years ago now. And it was a mess, to be very honest with you. Things were challenged. There was fear. There was a lot of violence. In fact, when we were in a community called Jos up in the north, we were basically in jail between 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. because we had to stay in our hotel compound. And this is not like your average Hilton Garden Inn. You'd go to the hotel and it had 8-foot walls with razor wire on top and gates that were manned by guards 24 hours a day. Things fall apart. And as we gather together on this Reformation Sunday, the message that I want to share with you today is that Reformation is a lot more than a historical event. It's more than just something that happened about 500 years ago. Reformation for the people of God is a way of life. Isaac Newton identified a lot of physical properties in this world, and his second law of thermodynamics says that things move from order to disorder. And that is just a fact that we can all identify with. How many of you own your home? You know that things move from order to disorder, right? Because if you don't stay on top of things, they literally do fall apart. But it's also true in our human relationships, too. If we don't tend to the relationships that we have with the people that God's brought into our life, those relationships can lengthen, they can get distant from one another, and they can fall apart. It's a problem of sin in a world that God made that things need attention, and if we don't give it to them, they fall apart. And so as we gather on this Reformation Day, it's important for us to recognize that Reformation is a regular part of the rhythm of our lives. It's a regular part of what God calls us to do and to be. And that's where the New Testament reading steps in today. If you've got your bulletin handy, open it up to, I think that would be page 8. This is a pretty clear description of what our relationship with God is like. That there is no way that people like you and I can approach God on our own. We can't volunteer and say, God, I want to be yours. What we hear from the Word of God very clearly is that He reaches into our life and He draws us and He calls us. And, in fact, He woos us. I like that word. Because He wants us to draw into a close relationship with Him. And what He has done is that He has acted in our history to make that possible. So this righteousness that Paul talks about here, this right relationship that we have with God, is not something that we can do. It's not something that we can aspire to on our own, but it's something that's given to us. Now take a look at the gospel reading on the next page, and you'll see how things can fall apart for people very quickly. Notice that first verse. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him. What? The Jews who had believed in him? We're not quite sure exactly what John means by this, but these are people who had placed their hope in Jesus, at least for a time. And as we read this conversation, the section that we have here is just a part of this ongoing conversation between Jesus and these people. It deteriorates rather quickly. It deteriorates into a, and you want to kill me from Jesus. And Jesus talks about his father and their father, and how his father brings truth and their father brings falsehood. You know, it's really easy for religious people, for people who recognize the place of God in their lives, to get off track on things. We just confessed our sin, and these are words that I remember from the time I was a little boy going to church. I had it all memorized. I knew it. I could speak it without even looking at the words. But what do those words really say? I justly deserve punishment. I justly deserve punishment. Do you believe that? Because a lot of the time, when we think about ourselves in relation with the world, our confession of sin is often tainted with a sense of self-righteousness. At least I'm not as bad as fill in the blank. Yeah, I know I'm a sinner, but I'm at least a better person than somebody else. At least I'm confessing my sin. Do you see how easy it is to fall into the trap of lifting up yourself at the expense of what God really wants to give you and who you really are? It's dangerous for religious people to think about that relationship in that way. It's dangerous for us. And it's kind of like walking a trail. If you've got your sights set on a target that you want to achieve, and you're just a little bit off, the farther you walk, the further away from your target you're going to get. And it's important for us to come back and be reformed and restored and reconnected with the truth of who we are apart from the mercy of God, so that that mercy can speak new life back into our lives again, so that we can make that course correction and be reconnected to the one who gave everything for us. The Apostle John, in his gospel, had another very significant word, one word that I believe is the hinge of human history. It's spoken by Jesus from the cross, and it's a single word that we translate as "it is finished." That word is tetelestai, and it's probably better understood as "it has been completed" or "it has been done." And what Jesus is talking about is the plan that God had for the world. We kind of see God speaking that in the Revelation text that we read a little while ago too. That the sovereign God, the one who is over all things, the God of the universe, wants to bring that message and that news to the nations and to call all people to himself. And he seeks to do that through people like you and me. But that word tetelestai is so important because it's the moment that all of history from the creation until that point pointed to. And it's that moment that we remember and think about for all of us who have been born since that moment. We think about that moment tetelestai because it means that the plan of God that he had in his heart when he said, "Let there be," and he formed Adam and Eve from the dust of the ground, and he made them to be his creatures and breathed into them the breath of life, that he was looking and knew that he was going to commit himself to the cross so that tetelestai would be a reality, so that it would be the thing that would call us to himself. Jesus said that if you remain in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth of the matter is that we need what Jesus comes into this world to provide. We can't live without it. And we need to hear it and be reconnected to it over and over and over again. So that Reformation isn't just an event that happened in the 16th century, but Reformation is happening right here and right now as we encounter the living Word of God. And Jesus says, if you remain in my word, translation that you heard a little while ago was abide. Well, we don't use the word abide too much in our language, but it means dwelling. It means living with it. It means staying in it. Jesus is talking about being reconnected to him as a person. Thomas asked Jesus a question on that Maundy Thursday night. Jesus said, "You know the place where I'm going." And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus' answer was, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way. And so remaining in Christ, remaining in Him, is the call that we have. Things fall apart. People get off track. We can take a good news of the gospel and turn it into a law very quickly in our lives and feel pretty self-satisfied in the way that we respond to what God's given us to do. But the message of the gospel is not about what we do. The message of the gospel is about what He's done. The message of the gospel is about how the Lord has reached into our lives and taken us where we are, and not just once, but regularly, over and over and over again, and how He calls us and draws us to Himself and makes us one with Him. When things fall apart, we find our connection with each other and with Him in the Lord Jesus Christ. God calls us to that kind of a life. He calls us to renewal and reformation and restoration. God bless us that we might receive that word and allow it to be a lasting blessing for us day by day, not just one Sunday a year, but every morning as we wake up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of life that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your heart for us that saw us when we needed You the most and reached out to us through the message of the cross. We pray Your blessing upon us today, O Lord, that we might receive that word of reformation, that You might shape us once more again, that You might restore us to that place where You want us to be. And then allow us, O Lord, to follow You. Allow our life to reflect the love that we first received from You as we share it with each other. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.